Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Back on the show, on the Joe, a Joe in for Joe. Joe Z, Don Bailey Jr., in for Joe Rose and Zach Krantz, the Joe Rose Show in Hollywood. They have the day off. Steven Preciado is our producer today. Joe Zagacki, Don Bailey Jr. Doubleheader for me, Don. We have basketball later on today. 5:30 pregame, 6 o'clock tip-off. Miami and Boston College. The COVID schedule in football and basketball has been crazy. You have day games or early evening games. But that's all right. It's fun. 6 o'clock at the Watsco Center. Final regular season game of the year for UM basketball. ACC tournament starts on Tuesday. Spring football starts in about a week or so. Coming up, we'll talk with Garen Justice, University of Miami offensive line coach. Nat Moore joins us later on in the show, Senior Vice President, Special Projects, Alumni Relations, and advisor to the CEO, the great Nat Moore. We'll talk about the Dolphins, and we'll pick his brain on first-round wide receivers. Gene Dekeroff, the voice of the Seminoles and the Tampa Bay Bucks, my good friend, will join us also. We'll talk about the Bucks winning the Super Bowl, plus the Seminoles, the basketball chance they go to the Final Four. And I think Gene and I are going to go down memory road a little bit, talk about Miami and Florida State, the great days. We were talking about Devontae Smith or Jamar Chase, and the Dolphins have the number 3 pick. So they're staring at perhaps a wide receiver. Now, that means they would bypass the big offensive lineman from Oregon. Let me run this by you, Don Bailey. You being a center, agree or disagree, here's a draft philosophy. Once you secure a quarterback, which I guess also is part of our discussion right now, once you secure a quarterback, the Dolphins, have they secured their quarterback in Tua? You build through the offensive line.
I'll just throw these two names out at you, Webb and Sims.
Yeah.
Miami got, what, probably 18 years out of those two guys? First right. And second round pick in that draft. And you're right. The Oregon tackle, that's a philosophy. You want to make life easier on Tua? Give him protection. Ask Russell Wilson about protection. Right? He's going crazy out there in Seattle because he's been getting dinged around. So you can improve with the offensive line. You also can say the running game. You know, what do you do? Do you take the tackle then, and then you wait? Hopefully, you can wait and pick up Najee Harris in the second round. Not too many people are buying running backs in the first round anymore. But you can get a guy that you can get some production out of, and get the offense stabilized. The game I remember is I guess we did the show the week after Miami, the Dolphins played Denver, and there wasn't much of a running game. And it hurts. It hurts a young quarterback especially. It kills all kinds of threat of play action. So I can understand that too. I can buy into that because if the tackle is the right guy, it's a 10-year decision. You can look at that you can stabilize that spot for a decade.
You know, that goes back to a little bit of Smith and Chase. Chase the big receiver, Smith a playmaker. Smith, I thought you made a really good point our last hour about being coached by Nick Saban. The other thing that they mentioned with Smith is, and I love this story, every day after practice, 100 catches a day off the jugs gun. And, you know, my spiel on that one is when you and I leave the practice field at University of Miami, I always like to look over to see who's staying behind to catch balls on the jugs gun at Alabama. 100 catches a day by Devontae Smith. But all that being said, San Francisco 49ers were down here a year ago in the Super Bowl against the Chiefs, and John Lynch built his team inside out. And, you know, Bill Parcells, you have that theory. Nick Saban, we're going to dive into Alabama a little bit. And I would just say this about Alabama. When you look at their depth chart and when you look at who they recruit, it's all about size. If you are under 6 feet tall, unless you are Superman, you're not playing at Alabama. I don't care. If you're a five-star receiver that is a five-star player that's incredible, he might take you. I looked at his roster. He has less than 10 players under 6 feet tall. So he doesn't have a running back under 200 pounds. Doesn't have an offensive lineman under 335. So you can build your team big. That would lead you to the Oregon tackle.
Well, I like that thought process. It's not exciting, but there's two things that it does for me. Is it can solidify you. If the player can adapt to the National Football League immediately, he upgrades a position that Miami wants to upgrade. The next thing is it puts it to rest. You know, it's really the only position that you know that you're going to get the duration out of it more so than anywhere else. I think that you get that first round pick on the offensive line, and he's the guy, and if he's a third pick of the draft, he's going to be there for a long, long time. That takes pressure off down the road. You have stabilized a position on that field for years to come. And I go back again, you want to help your quarterback go to the running game. And Joe, to hit on what you said about the wide receiver deal and the size of Alabama, if Devontae Smith 3 years ago coming out of high school didn't fit the mold for Nick Saban to win a national championship with him at receiver, he wouldn't have recruited him. And you realize Devontae Smith every day last year, forget the game, who'd he deal with in practice? Every day.
Yeah.
And really, every day his whole career, he's going against first-round draft picks at corner, first-round draft picks at safety. He's getting mauled at the line of scrimmage by guys that are going to be picked in this draft in the first round.
Yeah, Devontae listed at 6'1", 175, by the way. I don't know if he's 6 feet tall, but he's listed at 6'1". Everybody else on Alabama's depth chart is over 6 feet tall for the most part. That gets you to this. Are you in on Tua? You have a conviction on Tua. You know, Jimmy Johnson, he selected Troy Aikman in the first round. And then he selected a year later Steve Walsh in the supplemental draft because Steve was the hot quarterback, and plus he had a history with Steve Walsh. So the Dolphins, they could take a quarterback. I don't think they will. And they spent a whole year tanking for Tua. Are you in on Tua? And or, you know, you had a lot of conversation. I just cannot believe that the Texans will let Deshaun Watson get away. I think you just do everything in your power to solve that situation. It's very toxic right now, but there is time to salvage it. Somehow they've got to be able to salvage it. But if you're the Dolphins, you are on the clock with that. You've got guys out there saying they want to be traded. One of them is Watson, and the other one making some noise, sending up smoke signals, is Russell Wilson.
Well, the question to me is very simple to be answered. If I can get Deshaun Watson and I don't have to give away my team and my draft, I take him. Done deal.
Yeah.
There's no question. The guy's 24, is he 25 years old? The numbers that he's put up over his career, how he's produced. Heck, he went to the playoffs twice. He's taken the Texans to the playoffs twice. I love the size of him. I think that he's a leader. I think that he is a guy that will allow you to get better as an entire football team. He brings so many options to the field. What he does especially well is he runs the football. I mean, he's got great legs. He extends plays. He's got elite size. He can do anything and everything. So if you can get him and you're not giving up years and years of development, and you're not going to have holes in your roster because of draft picks, I think you can go with them. I'm with you. If I'm the Texans, I'm sitting down and we're having counseling. Because I'm going to make sure this is we're keeping this marriage together. Because you first thing you want to do is you're going to be a new head coach, and now you got to go draft a quarterback. What are the chances of that hitting? I mean, is it going to be the Rosen deal, where out in Arizona they have Rosen, they first round pick, they draft another first round pick the next year. So that, we've seen precedents of that in the last couple years. Right, where you can you can draft the first rounder, and you say, this isn't working. They trade Rosen to the Dolphins for, I think it was a second. He doesn't work here. He's still floating around, or he floated around last year. They go back and draft another first round pick. So the question is, when it's draft day, personalities really don't come into this. It's, can you upgrade your football team? Did the Dolphins sit there and say, at the third pick, do I like a quarterback that's going to take us into the playoffs and win playoff games and get us to a Super Bowl? Then the answer would be, I guess you would take them. Because I think everybody was scratching their head year one, two with Josh Allen with the Bills, right? Everybody's saying, well, who did they take this guy? Where was he from? What was it, Wyoming? Or, I mean, he was a California kid that went out, and there's nothing. Big, strong kid. He was erratic in year one. Year two, got, look, now they're in the playoffs. So they developed him. So if you think Tua can develop, you stick with him. You're going to have to surround him. You're going to have to build around him. We obviously know that defense is the key for that, right? Everybody thinks you got to get receivers. And the Miami Dolphins are going to have a defense. That's just how their head coach is. But now you've got to look at offensive line. You've got to have help with some playmakers. You know, the tight end for a quarterback early in his career is very, very helpful. Big target, short throws, got to have reliability at the tight end spot. You want somebody that's going to give you separation as a wide receiver. We're going to go back with Chase and Smith, but I still think if you take the lineman in the third round, or you trade down, there's a Jalen Waddle out there, Bateman's out there, there's other options. And it's just, what do you see? The thing now is also, you've got co-coordinators with the Dolphins. You had Chan Gailey last year, who actually, I thought that was a very, very good move by the Dolphins to bring in an old-school guy that has developed quarterbacks for decades, has been in that position for decades, and he spent time with it, and they hopefully bring Tua along. But what's going on with Fitzpatrick? To me, I like the fact that he's on the football team. That's another coach, and it seemed that.
Well, I think that's a decision they need to make. Are they going to bring him back?
Yeah,
you know, he's not, because he's out there and he's a free agent. So I am with you. I do not buy this theory that I heard the other day that if you have Ryan Fitzpatrick on your team, you are going to stall the progress of Tua. I don't buy that at all. I think you need as many assets as you can get. Now, maybe Fitzpatrick would not settle for that role of being the guy that has to come in and be the relief pitcher, but I think there's still room for that. I'm not bothered by it. I think if it's late in the game and Tua, who's only going to be in his second year, is struggling, and you have a guy like Fitzpatrick that can come in and light the fire, I'm all for it. I think that's And I think that you don't. It's not going to be a crutch that he has his entire career, but I think last year we lost sight of the fact that Tua was coming off hip surgery.
Thank you.
Hadn't played in a year, and came out of college a year early. I just think there's a tremendous upside with Fitzpatrick. I am not bothered by that at all. If they were to go down that path, I would actually feel much more secure if they went down that path.
Well, if you don't, let's say you don't go down that path, and you bring up the injury of Tua, he proved that he's healthy, but he also took a lot of shots. He also didn't play every snap the whole season. Fitzpatrick came in and helped Miami win games, but he helped Tua. I don't think people realize that sitting beside a guy, it's one thing to sit in there with your coordinators or your quarterback coach and you can have a conversation. Some things you don't want to talk about, or it can be explained better by a guy that's been on the field. I think Fitzpatrick is a great guy to have to raise a young quarterback. I'm with you also. I think that Fitzpatrick's got to – he wants to play. That guy wants to start. He doesn't look at his age. He doesn't look at it. He wants to go compete and start. If he can't compete, I don't know that he does come back. But I think it was a good situation for him last year to be around Tua. I think that he is a positive influence on the young man. But you have to have competition at that position as well. And I think that when you analyze it, a young quarterback with an older guy that's been around that can explain defenses to you, you can ask questions that come to you quickly. You're going to spend as much time with Fitzpatrick. Normally, I'm not sure in a COVID year, but normally those two guys are roommates together on the road, right? So you've got all this free time. You're watching tape together, and it's just a grooming process. You bring in somebody that can't enlighten Tua on the NFL and enlighten him at that position, I think it stunts his growth.
Yeah, you know, you could go down, you could select, I suppose, the Oregon offensive lineman, and then, as you mentioned, there's a great debate on whether or not you take a running back in the first round. But if you took Najee Harris, you, if he was there, you immediately have a lot of size on your offense. Now, the Dolphins did draft a tackle last year, Jackson at USC, but that's going to, I think the Dolphins will reveal more of what they want their identity to be, obviously, this year in their offseason moves, both through free agency and the draft. But they need playmakers for Tua. I think he will be a very good quarterback. I think he can make great throws. We saw him in the Orange Bowl game against Oklahoma make some great throws, made some tremendous throws last year. I think accuracy is not going to be his problem, and he throws the ball better than I thought. And I have to say this, I've never really been in the corner of left-handed quarterbacks. I always think they're kind of wild, but when it comes to accuracy and getting the ball moving down the field, I think he can whip it pretty good, but he's going to need some help. Now, when he got surrounded in the pocket, he got chewed up, but that's incumbent on the Dolphins to sort that out.
It is, and I think one thing that you have to realize with Tua, and I noticed in the games that I watched, was Fitzpatrick got rid of that football. You know, it's maybe a snap of a finger quicker, right? But that in that league, that's a huge difference. This year for Tua, I would expect that his processing will have gotten quicker. He'll have a better understanding of what to do when he faces certain defenses, the down and distance understanding. That from year one to year two is a huge jump. At any position in the National Football League, you've adjusted to everything, and especially the speed. I don't care what position you are. I don't care what round you got drafted in. If you're a rookie and you come into the National Football League, it is a blur as far as speed and athleticism and size go. And I don't care what round you were taking in. So he will have that advantage going into year two, where he can get rid of the football, where he can recognize it, and now he's got recall through the whole season. I'm going to go back, I guess, to the Denver game. They changed up the defense prior to that game when Tua was coming in, and that's why they struggled so much offensively in that football game. Tua hadn't seen it, hadn't had to adjust to it, and now you're struggling in a football game. But you know, you look at this, and you got to make your decision: Josh Allen, Buffalo. In the playoffs a couple years down the road. Struggled early on, a little bit better the next time around. Now, look, it's his team now for the next 10 years.
Okay, a little bit later on the show, we're going to take a look at Joe and Don's top 10. They're going to be players that we have seen play up close and personal against the University of Miami, or I cheated a little bit, guys that we saw because we were preparing for a game, and they just happened to be the opponent of a Miami opponent. So we've had a chance to see a bunch of different players. We'll do that a little bit later on. Those players would include Trevor Lawrence and Kyle Pitts, Greg Rousseau and Jalen Phillips, of course, Kadarius Toney. We saw the Virginia Tech offensive lineman, saw Virginia Tech defensive back. So we'll dive into that.
Tutu Atwell.
Man, you put him in that list. Yeah, he's got to get to the NFL someplace. So when we come back, we'll talk about the University of Miami offensive line. We might have to ask Coach Justice to put his general manager hat on for a moment and see if he takes that theory of if you've got the quarterback, then build through the offensive line. What do you think he would say on offensive line coach?
Well, the good news is with him, he was a coordinator too, so he'll give you the real answer.
All right, so we'll do that next as we continue Joe and Don in for Joe Rose. Steven Preciado is our producer this morning. Joe Zagecki, Don Bailey Jr. on a Friday in for Joe Rose and Zach Krantz and Hollywood Danny Rabinowitz. We have University of Miami basketball coming up later today, 5:30. I'll be on the air at the pregame, 6 o'clock. We will have tip-off Miami and Boston College from the Watsco Center. Along the lines of the University of Miami, joining us right now, Hurricanes offensive line coach Karen Justice. Coach, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Joe. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you, Coach. Coach Justice is brought to you by Toyota of Hollywood on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. All right, that took care of business. All right, Coach, you got a lot of guys coming back. Should be an interesting spring for you. How will you sort it all out in spring football? What will your goals be?
Yeah, I mean, we'll have a lot of different combinations this spring. We're going to try to see what our best five guys are and what our best combination is going to be going into the fall. So I think the biggest goal is to kind of see what guys need to be in the certain seats and then moving forward and when we leave spring, kind of have a great feel on who those five will be entering August.
Coach, I hope you're doing well. Thanks for joining us this morning. And, you know, I'm going right to the big man. How's Navon Donaldson coming? How's that knee and how's his off season been? And is he going to be able to help us out this year?
Yeah, Navon's been his best self, and it's really impressive because each week you're seeing his confidence come back. You're seeing him feel more and more comfortable, and that's the thing. Like last year, at the end of the year, he was cleared, but being cleared and being ready are two different things. And Vaughn was a guy who mentally he knew he possibly could have to come in on an emergency basis and help us, kind of like he had to do the Duke game. But at the same time, he wasn't fully ready. He wasn't fully ready in a lot of ways, and that was something that me and him have both talked about. And it's more driven by him. And being cleared and being ready are two different things. And Vaughn now is in a place where he is very much locked in on the process of getting ready to play a game and. You see he fully trusts his knee, fully trusts where he's at injury-wise, and you're seeing the best of him week in and week out right now.
Coach, you come back with five starters, which is a rare luxury at the University of Miami. Do those guys begin spring football in their spots, or do you start moving guys around?
Yeah, the thing we're telling these guys is everything counts. Just like in a game or just like leading up to a game, everything counts. So it's what are you doing in the classroom? How are you doing in the lifts? How are you doing in the mat drills? What's your attitude in and out of the building? Or can we depend on you? So everything's kind of going into consideration right now because, one, if we're coaches that preach the right thing and say guys have to do the right thing all the time, then we have to back it up. But, two, that's also the right thing to do. And then so we'll gauge all of that going in and so we'll probably do a lot of different shakeups, but then at the end of the day, we're going to play the best guys that give us the best chance to win. And whoever that is, good for those guys, but it's our job to try and figure that out.
Coach, give me the update on Zion Nelson. I've really enjoyed watching his career. I know he struggled a little bit like anybody and everybody would on the offensive line as a true freshman. It's really not a position for true freshmen, but he came on very, very strong at the end of last year. How's his offseason been? And he didn't come in looking like a tackle, but he sure looks like one now.
Yeah, I mean, I think Zion, when he came on campus, was 244 pounds. Before this season started, he was 312. So a lot of that goes into the work he's put in physically to be the player he is now. And yeah, the biggest thing I think some people, when they see a kid as a freshman, they want to put a kid in the box that he's this player. And we don't consider the development that a kid who does things the right way, regardless who the coach is, regardless who the offense is, that they're going to improve, they're going to be better. And what they look like as a senior is going to be a completely different person than what they are as a freshman. And Zion's probably accelerated that a little bit in the fact that I think Zion made a 180 in a lot of different ways. He probably gave up more sacks than any college offensive tackle his freshman year, and this past year was very dependable for us. And Zion's a guy who, once you know him, you probably don't necessarily feel like you do know him, because he's very, very quiet, great kid, works hard, does everything the right way, is never on a list, very dependable, and then just the sheer athletic ability and all those things make him a really, really good player.
Coach, the offense last year averaged almost 440 yards a game, 34 points a game. Where can this offense go this season?
Yeah, I mean, we've got to run the ball better, and that's going to be the biggest goal, is we've got to be a team that runs the ball better. And if you can run the ball better, much like you guys were talking about with Tua earlier, you'll be able to throw the ball better, because people have to honor what you do in the run game. It makes that makes the pass rush less effective, because people are worried about defending the run. And plus, there's the collective body blows that you put on people when you can run the football. So we ran the ball better than what we did the previous year, but it's still nowhere close to the standard we want to run the football at. So we've got to find an identity running the football. And if we can get that going, then the rest of the offense should get that much better.
Coach, you signed a couple freshman offensive linemen, Lawrence Seymour and Ryan Rodriguez. Tell us what you saw in them in high school and how that adjustment's going to be for those guys, and if they can help us this season.
Yeah, both of those guys are – when I look at Ryan and Lawrence, both those guys are great football players. And I know sometimes people look at measurables and things like that, but – those are guys who are really good football players first and foremost, and guys that enjoy and love playing football. And we usually say, as long as you have the talent, the intangibles, and you love playing the game, then it's our job as a program to get you better. And those guys, I think we're in a good place right now in the fact that we're going to play the best five, and if those guys, any of those two, walk in the door and can help us win right now, then we're going to play them. But I don't think we have the urgency quite like we've had in the past, where you had to play a Zion Nelson and Ja'Kai Clark. You had to start a DJ Scaife. You had to start a Navon Donaldson. All those guys started as true freshmen. And again, kudos to them for being ready to be able to step in and play. But how much better would they have been if they could sit behind someone, learn, develop, grow, and then have a career and really do it the right way. And you see, you talk about the Alabamas and the Clemsons and the programs that we're striving to be closer and closer to every single day. Those guys rarely roll out a true freshman and start those guys on the offensive line. Not saying it won't happen, but that's the luxury I think we have right now, is that they can stay behind there. But we're very, very excited about their futures here at Miami.
University of Miami offensive line coach Garen Justice, our guest on the show, Joe Z, DBJ, sitting in for Don Bailey, or sitting in for Joe Rose. So we're going to talk more about the University of Miami, coach. But you were listening to us talk about Tua. So let me ask you, and Don mentioned, of course, you also have been an offensive coordinator. So I'm going to put your NFL hat on for a moment. We're going to play fantasy football, which we do on the show a lot. And I tossed out there, one of the big philosophies in the NFL is, once you secure a quarterback, you build through the offensive line. Of course, our NFL team is staring at wide receivers for Tua, or continue to build. They invested in the offensive line a year ago. So you agree or disagree with that philosophy? And, of course, I know I asked this to an offensive line coach.
Yeah. Well, I think the first thing you have to address is Tua your guy? And if that is so, then you need to get your insurance policies around him to protect him and make sure he can that way you can make sure you see what you truly have. And much like the sometimes quarterbacks, they take hits and they get gun shy. And I think the thing with Tua is he's shown that he's not the most durable. So you better get some guys that protect him and keep him as durable as he can be if he's your guy. So I think Penei Sewell, just from seeing his natural instincts and ability, he's a generational type tackle, in my opinion. And he's a guy that if you get him, you don't have to worry about that position for a long time. That's the positive of it. And I think the way you're seeing the 7-on-7s and all those things develop, it's easier to find a receiver that can be a mismatch guy and you can, the receiver classes are always deeper than those offensive tackles. So we always say, God doesn't make many big, talented, athletic people. He makes a lot of talented, athletic, smaller people. And I think if you find a rare case like that, you got to grab a franchise tackle and keep it.
Coach, you've got University of Alabama is going to be the opener that we're going to be talking about every time we're on the radio between now and that game starts. What has that done, having them in as the opener and having them as the really one of the marquee games of the entire 2021 season? How's that helped the focus of the University of Miami football team? I mean, every day they know they're going out there. They better get better, and you can't even take a rep off if you want to go compete with the Crimson Tide.
Yeah, you're 100% right. And I think last year our guys got a rude awakening when they played Clemson.
Yep.
And we've got to start looking at ourselves as what's the standard? Is the standard good enough to win the ACC championship game against the Clemson? Is the standard good enough to be able to compete and win Alabama the first game of the year? If it's not to the standard, whether it's how we recruit, how we prepare, how we coach, then it's not good enough, and we need a different answer. So that's been really, really good for our guys. It's been really, really good for our coaches. And workouts have, from all reports downstairs in the weight room, have been great. Mat drills have been really, really good so far. So the guys know that. The guys understand that. And I think sometimes taking one on the chin, it kind of wakes you up and makes you realize that, hey, we've done some good things, but we got a long ways to go, and we got to keep working, and we got to understand what the standard is.
The bad news in spring is you won't have De'Ara King to participate in spring. The good news is you're going to get a really good look at these young quarterbacks to see what you have with those guys.
Yeah, and all those guys are working hard. I mean, I've got my own issues trying to work out and figure that out, but. I mean, the good news is that it allows great competition for Coach Lashley in his room, and I know those guys are eager to compete. But we're trying to compete at all of our positions right now and figure it out. And like I said, we've got a lot of guys in the O-line room who have a lot of experience and coming back. So we've got a lot of different position matchups and a lot of rooms that we all got to figure out and see who our best combinations are moving forward this August.
Coach, you're going to lose a couple outstanding defensive ends in Roche, and then Jalen is. And what's the fill-in? We saw a little bit, of course, in the bowl game, but the defensive ends that are left on the roster there seems to be quite a bit of talent. Even though it looks like you're losing a first-round draft pick.
Yeah, you're going out of my expertise right there. That's a Jess Simpson, Manny Diaz question. But
you face them, though. That's the thing.
Yeah,
you
know, I know. But those guys, I don't know. I know there's – you had a couple guys that played in the bowl game, and we brought DeAndre Johnson in from Tennessee, and we had some freshmen we signed. So it's hard for me to speak on that, but I know that, like everyone, they're all working and competing and trying to do a nice job.
Got to ask you this before we let you go. Don, of course, is a former center, so we have to ask about Corey Gaynor, because Don keeps a very close eye on Gaynor. He comes back for a fifth year at that position, so that gives you a lot of experience at the center position with a guy that, you know, calls the signals and handles a lot of responsibility.
Yeah, Corey's awesome, just in the fact that he is the leader of the group. I mean, Corey does a nice job as far as getting those guys doing extra work, extra film, motivating guys in the weight room, doing things right himself all the time. He's one of those guys that if you say, okay, if I had to mentally develop an offensive lineman, what does he look like? And a lot of those intangibles that Corey Gaynor brings to the table is what you love. And Corey's a competitor. Sometimes it doesn't get enough credit for his athletic ability. He's a little more talented than what people think he is, but he's awesome to have in the room, and he makes my job easier as a coach.
All right, well, we're looking forward to spring football, about a week away. Hard to believe spring football will be here, and we'll be talking a lot about the University of Miami. It's nice to have all those guys coming back. We appreciate you wearing both hats here today, offensive line coach and general manager.
I appreciate it. I'm glad I'm not a general manager and have to worry about that. I'm glad we just got to worry about the room we have, and excited to get to coach these guys. They're all pretty eager for this spring, and we're really excited to see how it unfolds.
All right, Coach.
Thank you for joining us, Coach.
Anytime, Don. You know I love talking to you.
I know it, buddy. Thanks.
All right, appreciate it. That's University of Miami offensive line coach Garen Justice. You know, see, the more I think about it, I just think Devontae Smith, Heisman Trophy winner, 117 catches, 23 touchdowns. Who's going to second guess that?
Well, somebody that loves offensive linemen that are 6'6", 330 pounds, that are athletic and strong and quick and have a great football IQ and do a great job of staying square, and they rarely get off balance, and something we can lock down for 10 years.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, very, very tempting. There's no question. Oh, you know, yeah. if you select the big guy. Now, he didn't play either this past year. The offensive lineman from Oregon did not play. But that certainly adds size, makes a statement about your team. We have about a minute to go. So before we go to break, real fast, picking up on what Coach Justice said, offensive line, you really that's an area that you closely follow. We're going to have five guys coming back, and then Navon Donaldson. So this is a very positive development, I hope, for the University of Miami offensive line.
You don't have to hope. They're getting great coaching. Garen Justice has built an individual relationship, Joe, with every single one of these players, and they respond to him. He communicates extremely well. He's a great technician. I love the fact that, you know, he has head coaching experience. He has coordinator experience. He's a big picture guy, but he loves his room. And you've got right now, you've got, you know, the five starters from last year, of course, and then you throw in Navon Donaldson. That's immediate competition across the whole board. And I would like to see Miami get to the point where, you know, you talk about Coach Lykan said, you know, he didn't feel comfortable with six wide receivers last year. I'd love for Coach Justice to tell me the end of camp before we go to Atlanta for the Alabama game. Hey, Don, I can't believe it. I'm comfortable with two deep, you know, and we're going to put in a whole second line the third series of the second quarter. I mean, I was a part of that under Schnellenberg, and I think it just does wonders for competition and experience. So, you know, it's a good situation to have. You and I have been wanting this for 15 years. So we've got what we want. Let's just see what comes out of it. But they are getting outstanding coaching from Garen Justice, and Miami's lucky to have him on their staff, Joe.
Phillips or Rousseau, somebody in the NFL is going to make that decision. It might be the Dolphins might be faced with that decision as well. Phillips or Rousseau, and Chase or Smith. Nat Moore joins us at 8:00 here on QAM. All right, closing in on 8:00 on a Friday. It's Friday, everybody. We made it to the end of the week. That's good. Hope everybody has a wonderful weekend. Maybe a cocktail or two. Be safe. March the 5th. We'll have basketball for you later today. University of Miami basketball from the Watsco Center. Nat Moore is coming up momentarily. The Steelers, Don. Ben Roethlisberger is taking a pay cut, but he's coming back. The Steelers last year started 11-0. Then they lost four of their last five. Big Ben. I didn't realize this. I saw this number. He averaged 6.3 yards per pass attempt. That's it.
I know.
It's like, you know, you talk about dink and dunk. Like that, you got to push the ball down the field a little bit.
Yeah, well, you don't think they're going to be looking for a receiver if they can get one? They got to go free agency or the draft, however they got to get there.
I don't know. They might be in the market for a quarterback at some point. They got to be thinking about moving on from him. Dolphins have Tua. A lot of talk about Russell Wilson. A lot of talk about Deshaun Watson. We've debated Chase or Smith a little bit. So we will do that in the third hour coming up. Real fast, we got about a minute. Dolphins could be staring at Greg Rousseau and or Jalen Phillips and some other teams as well. They are two of the top edge rushers coming out right now.
This goes back to your belief, Joe. Do you want a guy that opted in or a guy that opted out? I think if you need immediate help, I believe that Phillips is the guy that can do that for you, because you have Rousseau, who I love. I love him on the field, off the field. Love his frame. Love his potential. He started 7 games in 19. He didn't play in 20. So you got a 7-game window to invest in. And what do you believe? If you can develop him, is there a higher end? Is there a bigger pot of gold at the end of the rainbow with him? Probably so. You need somebody right now that's going to come in and help you on third down for sure immediately, then you got to go the other route. Then you got to go with Phillips.
The Dolphins have Van Ginkle on one side. If they took Rousseau, you would have Van Ginkle and Rousseau, two guys that are like, you know, 6'6", I don't know, 265 pounds, that can reach the quarterback from Broward County. That would be, I mean, that would really be. And then, of course, you would have two guys. I don't know if you'd play them at the same time. I think I would. You'd have two guys in passing lanes that would be awfully difficult for, would make it more difficult for quarterbacks to try to throw the ball over the top of. So we'll see. I thought that Rousseau, in retrospect, probably could have used another year of playing and could have used a year with Jalen Phillips, considering the intensity that Jalen Phillips brought to the table. I didn't see that coming, but he was one of the more intense football players that we've seen at the University of Miami in a long time, and I think Rousseau could have learned a lot from him. We'll talk more about that in the next hour. Nat Moore is in the on-deck circle. Looking forward to speaking with Nat Moore about the draft and the Dolphins and the alumni and all things Dolphins. That's coming up.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.